that's the goal, is I'm going to get to a place where I can be generous or whatever you want to call it. And then I realized with Spirit Change, like, I don't have to wait. You know, I can create an impact on someone right now, and it might not be the biggest impact, but if I can leave someone better than I found them, that's pretty powerful.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. We've got a great conversation for you here today with Josh Corcoran of Spare Change. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know that Going Deep with Aaron Watson is underwritten by Piper Creative, an agency that is focused on delivering Instagram content, podcasts, and vlog-style video to brands and companies around the country. You can check out pipercreative.co for more information about the services that we provide. But today's conversation, like I said, with Josh Corcoran, is all about one of the most innovative concepts around raising money for great causes that I've come across in the recent few years. Spare Change is a web series where musicians help raise money for great causes. Josh is going to explain the origins of it and the mission that he is pursuing throughout the conversation, but they have just released a brand new episode, episode 13. It is available on YouTube, it is available on Facebook, and I would be totally fine if right now you paused this podcast and went and found it on those platforms. The views help, the comments help, the likes help with content like this, and particularly on a show unlike what we're doing with some of the, you know, daily content with Piper, when you've produced something that has so much that goes into it, where you're doing it infrequently, those are high leverage moments when those videos come out. So would really appreciate it if you supported Josh and Spare Change and all the great causes that they support by heading over to one of those channels and giving them the old thumbs up. This is a really good conversation. We get deep into the creative process. So enjoy this conversation with Josh Corcoran.
You're listening to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
We need to start off, Josh, right here, right now. Explain to folks, Spare Change, a video series. This is episode 13 that 13. Is coming out. This is actually based on the way we're manipulating time. Anyone who is possibly listening to it, the video is already out.
Okay.
And the concept for this, if they've never seen the videos in the past, is that you are creating this amazing content that is exposing people through music to a bunch of different nonprofits with really great missions. So can you talk a little bit about, in more depth, the core premise of Spare Change and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, definitely. Right now, with episode 13 out, it is the best example of what we're trying to do in the future. And I've been working at this for a while to get to a point where I could show someone a video and say, this is exactly what Spare Change is. And it's taken 13 episodes to get there. And that's been the crazy thing, is we've been sort of tooling at this thing we've built and trying to figure out how we can sort of like reduce it to like the minimum viable product. Like, what is Spare Change? And we feel like we finally got there. And what it is to me is it's a platform for musicians to raise money for their favorite causes and also highlight their favorite causes in a way that's fun to watch. It's entertaining, it's fast, it's exciting. Trying to change how people think about nonprofit and charity videos, and trying to let the entertainment value and the fun that comes out of making music spill over into this great world of activism and causes. So episode 13 in my mind is the best example of what Spare Change is and where it's going. How it originated was, while I was in between jobs before I started working here at Deep Local, I had some free time and I played music with my friend Pete, and we started busking on the street as a joke. Like, we're like, let's go play on the road. It's funny. Like, it's a funny thing, especially as being a former professional musician. It was just like what you do, you play. And we ended up that first night with a bunch of money on our guitar case, and someone came up to us asking for Spare Change. We just gave him all the money because we weren't doing it for money. We were just doing it for fun. And his reaction was so overwhelmed that we were like, wow, there's something here. We could really help people out. And, you know, that that change in our guitar case, those few dollars, you know, meant nothing to us in that moment, but to that person, it changed their night. And that's how we started this journey. And for some reason, I thank God to this day that I was filming on my iPhone. We were filming it. I put it on my social media and people really responded to it. So we've grown this thing and just kind of followed this journey of saying, what can we do with the money we make from music, and how can we use music as a way to elevate people and causes that we want to highlight? And that's why I think if you look at the episodes we've done, you know, 1 through 12, every episode's kind of different than the last. And we're trying to, looking back now, I was trying to figure out, what is this thing? And fortunately, with episode 13, I think we finally figured it out. And that's what's exciting to me in a lot of ways, because episode 13 is a lot like episode 1 in my mind, because it took that time to get there. And thank goodness, I think like Piper Creative, it was documented. It's cool to be able to look back at that journey. But when it comes down to it, it's like, this is what we're doing. We're letting bands talk about the causes they love, and we're helping them tell that story, and ultimately creating a campaign around those causes in a way that we can help them out. And where it goes from here, I'm not certain, but I think that we finally are, we have the ship pointing in the right direction. We have the right people on the boat, and it's exciting to see that. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to how people react to this next episode.
And that's such a fascinating idea, that it never comes right out of the box exactly how you want it to be. There is this iterative process to anything creative. And, you know, whether this, I think we're recording something like the 50th episode of This Is Piper, somewhere in that range, and this is going to be the 330th episode of Going Deep. Like, wow. There's been so many iterations. There's been so many evolutions in how something gets produced. And I think that we can really do something valuable for the audience by talking about that process by which you refined what it is that you're doing. I mean, we shouldn't discount, for those, once again, who haven't seen the Spare Change videos, like, some of these have done 80,000 views on Facebook. You've worked with Charlie Batch and all these other characters around town. Like, it is a known entity. It is far from an experiment or something on the marginal fringes of community. So when you say that after 13 episodes, we've kind of come to a realization or a formula or this vision or clarity around what it is that we're doing, can you talk through, not necessarily like every single episode and what it meant, but how you felt that, or how you came to that realization?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if I think back, you know, the first episode was that first night, and actually the very next night was episode 2. And it was funny because, like I said, I was in between jobs, so I had time. And when we had such a great time that first night playing on the street, that I talked to Pete, who was out with me, he plays drums, and we're like, let's do it again. And there was part of me that was like hesitating. It was funny because I was like, you know, I don't necessarily want to go, like, I live outside of Pittsburgh, so I had to drive in the city. We had to go on the street. We had to plan it out. But, you know, part of me was like, I got to figure out if this is a thing. And we went out again that second night, and it was dead. Like, nothing was going on. We were in Southside playing on the street, and nothing was doing. So we went to Shadyside and set up in an alleyway. And again, it's dead. And I'm thinking to myself, like, very clearly, like, I'm always analyzing. I'm like, okay, maybe it was just a fluke. You know, maybe it was just a one night thing, and that's it. And that's okay. And that's what it was. And then at the same exact moment, this gentleman came down the street and he started singing with us. And he was a minister at a local church, but he had an incredible voice, and he's singing Stand By Me. And for the video content, you have this incredible moment that's spontaneous where this gentleman joins us, and I had it all on film because we were filming. And that online that night was when I was like, it's a thing, because people really responded to that video. So the first, like, I'd say 3 episodes is that first journey of figuring out that there's something here. And by the third episode, we kind of dialed in that we had an ability to help people. And at the end of the third episode, we actually stumbled across a couple of girls that were fundraising for a nonprofit with some, like, you know, coffee cans to put money in for an education partnership. And we posted up next to them and started playing music. So that was the first time that we didn't just give the money away to, like, you know, a homeless person on the street. And we're like, wow, we can help nonprofits. And again, and being in between jobs, I'm thinking about, you know, is this an opportunity? Can I grow this? And I applied for a grant with Awesome Pittsburgh, and got invited to do a pitch competition with them. This is March of last year. And I was like, let's make this an episode. I'll film this. And we filmed that process of us pitching spare change, and we won. And the funny thing is, like, before they awarded us this grant, four people were competing. I went up to Pete and I was like, Pete, I think if we win this thing, we should give some of the money away. Like, wouldn't that be the most spare change thing to do? And he was like, yeah, we, you know, we were just like, we didn't think we were going to win, to be honest with you. Probably that's part of it. And we gave $100 to every of the other competitors, and no one had done that before. So that fourth episode was that moment. And then after that, I think the next trajectory was like, okay, this is the thing. We've won a grant now. We have some funding. How can we take advantage of this opportunity? So episode five, we worked with Voodoo Brewery and Rainbow Kitchen and like partnered a business with a nonprofit. Episode six, we had Humane Animal Rescue and we helped them out. Episode seven, we had a float tank in Pittsburgh and they were helping out a nonprofit in Ohio. So we started like figuring out the system of helping nonprofits by partnering them with businesses. And I thought really that that's the thing is I can give a business what they want, which is a video, and pair them with a nonprofit and help them use the money that they would put into a video and use it for a nonprofit to get exposure. And that's kind of how we started to think about spare change. So episode 7, 8, 9, and into 10 was all about getting businesses to donate to charities. And then we would partner with a charity and they would pay us from the money that we helped them get from the sponsorship. And it was like, you know, being creative about how you repurpose money and then putting out a video and supporting with marketing dollars, and everybody won. So that's episode 10. Episode 11, we did like a Christmas episode. And I had this idea for a long time about it'd be funny if we were caroling in Pittsburgh for random people and filmed that. And it sort of snowballed into if the people had influence in Pittsburgh, they could help share the story. And if everyone involved had some kind of audience, they would all share it and would bubble over. And we ultimately helped out Charlie Batch's Best of the Batch Foundation. We had a great partner from the business side in Waldron Private Wealth, which is a great financial management firm in Pittsburgh. And all the dots aligned, and that video did like 70,000 views in 2 weeks. And it was the first time we did a crowdfunding campaign where people could donate online. So this was a crazy transition momentum. We were kind of like retooling it. And probably the coolest thing for me as a former professional musician was that bands that I respected like Dispatch or Pacifier or G-Love or The Movement were letting us use their music in our videos without just permission. And usually it's hard to come by for your personal content to let a band let you use your music when, you know, things like YouTube would like flag things like that. Like we'd put a video on YouTube, it would get flagged to say like, you can't use this. And we'd be able to contest it because the band gave us permission. So our content was great because we had all these awesome musicians involved and it was really building up. And what was crazy about this year in 2018 was that the bands that we were featuring were actually talking about being in the video. And that's where it became sort of an opportunity to say, how can we create a great platform for that band if they are going to give us their time to help them fundraise for their cause? And so episode 12 was our first episode of 2018. And we had Bryce Vine, who is signed to Warner Brothers Records, gets 1 million plays a month on Spotify, has a great audience. And the charity was his best friend, Dan's charity, Barn Sanctuary. They have 200,000 fans on Facebook. And, you know, it seemed like the stars were aligning. We had support from First Victory Films to film it. So it was the first time that I didn't actually film it. I mean, for a lot of that first year, I was filming with my iPhone and just editing myself.
Which speaks to the power of the content that it registered without the crazy 4K whatever camera. Like,
yeah.
The story, the message was really powerful.
Was most important, yeah. I think. And that's what was crazy for me was like, I was always the kind of person that was like, once I get a good camera, then I'll do the thing. And spare change, because it happened so spontaneously, put us in a position where I didn't have that choice. It was already rolling. So it was like, I have a phone, I'm going to film it, we're going to do it, we're going to go. And, you know, with episode 12, it seemed like all the stars were aligning. And we had a marketing budget, we had a great partner in Studio Me. We put the same amount of money into episode 12 as we did 11. 11 does 70,000 views. Episode 12 did like 30,000. And this is Facebook views, which is, you know, not easier to come by than YouTube views, in my opinion. I think most people would agree with that. But still empowering when you hit that level of like 50, 60, 70, like you're clearly making some kind of dent into at least the public awareness. So that was a moment for me where I was like, why not? Why did this one not hit where it should have? And it's no, to be very clear, it's no fault of the people involved. Like Bryce is fantastic. The charity's great. First Victory Films that helped us produce it were fantastic as well. I just had a great conversation with a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, and he was like, I just didn't feel like you had a shareable moment in it. Like, what was the moment where I would be compelled to share it? And I was like, you're right. And I started thinking about the first few episodes we had, you know, the minister coming down the street. Like, that was something worth telling my friend about and worth hitting that share button. And the thing that, you know, was crazy for me is that all the planning that went involved with getting Bryce in it and the nonprofit for episode 12 and all that logistical thing, like at the end of the day, you know, we broke even and got less views. And it was like, did we do all we could for that charity? I mean, they got about $1,000 in total between the crowdfunding campaign and the sponsorship. And I'm happy about that. And I think we helped create some awareness outside of their home base. But I definitely left that feeling like, did we do all we could? You know, were we motivated by the right things? And how do we get to the place we want to be at? And in my mind, it was like getting bands to follow what we did, which is busk on the street. And that's cool to me. Like, what does it sound like when my favorite band busks on the street? I don't know. And that was part of it. And also the cause was such a big part of it. And I thought that, you know, the business involvement was great, but every time you add a different element, whether it's like the business being involved, the charity, the band, it's you're serving different masters. And the master that we're serving with Spare Change, number one, is our audience. We want to create the right content that, you know, makes them enjoy it. And then next would be probably the cause. We want to create a great video for a charity, and the band is helping fuel that. But when you throw a business on top of that, you know, you want to help them provide them with an ROI, and that the investment in the investment in the video is appropriate for what they're doing. And that changes your outcome. That changes how you approach a video. And I realized that if I want to ultimately help a business that might sponsor Spare Change, I have to grow this audience in a bigger way. And I have to stop thinking about view count. I have to stop caring about what a Facebook view means and start thinking more about a person who watches it that gets motivated to help the cause. So with episode 12, we did 70,000 views and about 45 people donated to the cause. Episode 11 did 70,000 views and got about 45 donors to the cause. Episode 12 did 30,000 views and it got about 15 maybe. So I started thinking that the people that donated 45 times the first time and 15 were probably the same type of people, and that the view count going up and down didn't really matter. It was about getting more people that would watch it that would be compelled to donate, and creating that audience that is engaged and cares, not just like the passive views that you get on Facebook. So that was really what motivated me for episode 13. And that's where we're at right now, which is like taking those learnings that have led up to this point, deciding what matters and what doesn't matter, and then cutting out what doesn't and going all in on what does. And when you reduce things like a business sponsorship and a marketing budget, then it's all about the content. And when it's all about the content, yeah, you know, I'm telling you right now, the views are going to drop in this episode, but I think they're going to be more meaningful views. And if we get 100 views that are more meaningful than 70,000 that don't matter, that's the moment we're at right now with Spare Change, where it's like, I want those 100 that count. And ultimately, if I go that direction where I'm creating the right content for that audience, then I think I'm on the right pathway.
That makes sense. I think that what you're really pointing to is, in a lot of ways, it's very easy to be seduced by a metric. It's very easy. And to some degree, like the flip side of that is that also there's other people who get seduced by metrics. Like,
yeah,
what got you into certain conversations with certain corporations to donate was probably the fact that you had those type of view numbers. And that just, in a world with so much noise, that's part of what allows you to cut through that and actually open a door or get that connection. So I think that we need to be respectful of the significance of that, in the sense that it's something people value. Mm-hmm. But what you're really talking about is, like, to me at the end of the day, you're talking about the brand of Spare Change and who's a passerby viewer? Who's someone who, oh, that was cool, I'm continue scrolling down the feed, or, you know, I'm onto my prank video that I'm about to watch, versus the people who, you know, whether it's because of this conversation or other views that other videos that they've seen or other conversations they've had with you, have a degree of anticipation, have a degree of excitement, and that kind of cultural relevance is really, and to me that ties so clearly to music, because music is, after more so than anything else, the real musicians are after that cultural influence and that cultural relevance. So I see that as a kind of unifying thread of your perspective on this stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. I think I approach a lot of things that we do with Spirit Change with a musician's mindset. So when I edit a video, it's about the soundtrack always. So if you look really closely at Spirit Change, you'll see that certain things that occur line up perfectly on the beat. Mm-hmm. And I'm editing almost like with a music video in mind, even though it's not a music video, it feels like one. And with content in general, you know, it's funny because the band that's in this episode 13, Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad, and I get it's a crazy name, but they're fantastic. And what I learned from them, especially being in their hometown of Rochester for episode 13, is just how devoted their fans are to that band. Like, do they have the following that Bryce Vine has? No. They don't get 1 million plays a month on Spotify. But in that moment at the concert that they had in the middle of their hometown with 3,000 people in the audience, they could have said anything and that audience would have responded because they love that band and they respect that band and they know what that band stands for. And that to me was a eye-opening experience. And I think that in general for Spirit Change is what we're driving towards. I want people, you know, I don't need to have the largest following in the world. What I want is people who are like me. You know, I'm making videos that I would want to watch and people that want to be engaged. And, you know, I think that people that want to be aware of causes that deserve their attention and learning more about that, and also finding ways to pair creativity with philanthropy. Like, that doesn't happen very often. So that's what I think is important to me from this mindset and this change, is like, it's kind of getting back to basics in a way and paring this thing down to the central element of what it is, and being okay with sort of knocking off some of the things that it was and being excited for this next chapter as we develop this new format into the next phase of what it will become.
If you had to package that, what Spare Change stands for in a succinct way, how would you deliver that to the audience?
I think that the way I describe it is that musicians have a power beyond the music that they make. And we're helping them understand how that power can influence and help others. That's what Spare Change is doing. And for me as a musician, that's the answer. But for me as a musician, you know, I always was in the mindset, especially when we were like really trying to like go all in, was like, once we make it, I'll help people out. Like, that's the goal, is I'm gonna get to a place where I can be generous or whatever you want to call it. And then I realized with Spirit Change, like, I don't have to wait. You know, I can create an impact on someone right now, and it might not be the biggest impact, but if I can leave someone better than I found them, that's pretty powerful. And music in general has, everyone knows, it brings people together. But I don't think that I realized when I was in the band full time that I could really impact people in this way or be the sort of like catalyst to bring an opportunity to a nonprofit. And I think that that's what we're trying to do with Spirit Change, is just really, really show musicians the power they have and use that power to bring people together. To unite a community around a cause.
So I want to give people an insight into, you know, this episode of Spare Change is less than 3 minutes long. And I think that for people who may be unfamiliar with the content creation process, they don't really have an understanding for all that goes into a 2 minute and 20 second video.
Yeah.
And not just explaining what it took in this instance, but, you know, I know two people that used to be professional musicians, you and Adam Harridan, who spoke at the Going Deep Summit. He's been a previous guest on the show. And both of you have a skill for bringing people in and putting compelling content in front of them for a specific audience. And I think that that's a really tough thing to do. And in this world where, you know, a lot of technologists, there's executives at Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter that see the content that's being created as more or less a commodity. They don't see it as art or something with this depth to it. It's a commodity. You know, we have 18 hours of content. You have 12 hours of content. So we're going to win. That's reductive. But with these budgets that Netflix and Amazon and everyone is spending, talk to me about like the evaluation of these 2.5 minutes and what goes into that process.
Yeah, I think the, you know, just painting the picture here with episode 12, I think it was a 2-day shoot and the camera's pretty much rolling the entire time that we're filming with the trip up to Barn Sanctuary and the concert the next day. And, you know, there's so much that goes on these shoots that, you know, as someone that's experiencing it, it's hard to remove yourself from it. And you think that every moment's important and every moment could be important. You know, when it comes from like a vlog perspective, you could really tell a story. Like the story you don't get in episode 12 is the fact that we had an RV from Cruise America and we didn't know that we had to plug it in and it's freezing cold in Michigan and we had no plug. We had no way to heat this RV. And we had to, at the last minute, call Dan, the owner of Barn Sanctuary, to talk to his dad to get us a plug. Didn't think he got the plug. We found the plug. We plugged it in. Like, that is an entire story right there. And it's not in the episode. So as an example, these moments are happening, the camera's rolling, and as a like a curator of content, you have to decide what's important for the audience to see. And that's challenging because that entire moment of how we're going to power the RV could be an entire video.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a lot of content from episode 12. I did an interview with Bryce and Dan. And if you watch the episode, you see us, we're holding goats. And it turned out to be a pretty good interview. You know, we talked a lot about their friendship and the history there. And Ethan and I were looking at the video and we're like, I don't know what we're going to cut from this. And, you know, I thought after that episode, I reached out to a lot of people, actually yourself included. I called you. I remember I was at Google I.O. and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I just wanted people that were in the game to give me their take on it. And you said something very telling to me, which is like, if you have one moment of a call to action for these charities, which is your episode, and once it passes, it's gone. And you said, you know, if you had more points of contact, it would be more call to actions. And that thing was very forward thinking of you to say that. And that stuck with me. And the other thing that, you know, resonated with me is like, you know, we do things, especially when it comes to marketing, we do things that we think are right for the audience, but they don't necessarily map to what we do in our personal lives. And, you know, if you take episode 12, A Spare Change, that's 13 minutes long. And I think about it from an outsider perspective. If my best friend sent me a 13-minute video and was like, you have to watch this video. It changed my life, but it was 13 minutes. I would have a huge amount of hesitation still.
I need to like schedule this into my weekend
or something. Yeah, I need to like sit down and I'm going to pull it up on my Apple TV. And I'm going to get maybe I'll make some popcorn. Like 13 minutes, I have to plan for that. And that I realized is how I would react to even my best friend saying I have to watch the most important content of all time. And if that is the case, then what does that say about the random person who has no affinity for me or Spare Change that happens to scroll past it? What does it say about the business or the entity that wants to share it on their page? It makes a huge barrier of entry. So with episode 13, actually before it, we were thinking about ways that we could get back to basics. And I was thinking about, you know, can I get a minute video? What's that look like for Spare Change? And I started thinking like, it's basically like busking and giving the money away. And I thought about having a musician busk and then like go buy someone a tank of gas, which is not what Spare Change does. But I think that's a video I'd want to watch. I'd want to see what would happen. And so I started thinking about this mindset of like shorter video. And started feeling like I was on the right track, like reducing it to like the shareable moment. And we had this plan for a while of going to Rochester to film with Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad. And like as a background, I've been following this band since I was in a band, like 2009. I love this band. And I, as crazy as their name is, I put that band up against anybody. They're fantastic. I've seen them live. They're incredible. So I clearly was motivated to film with them. I wanted that moment, of course, but I wanted to do it the right way. And I ultimately felt like I was still trying to figure out this episode 12 thing and how we're going to make a shorter video. And I wasn't ready. I felt like I wasn't ready for this band in this moment. And I didn't want to waste their time. And I talked to their manager, who's fantastic. His name's Reed. And I was like, Reed, you know, I'm thinking about the episode and the format. I want to change it. And he was like, listen, if you want Giant Panda, you should see them in their hometown. Like, we'll do it with you later on this year. They're coming to Pittsburgh in September or November. We'll do it then. But if you really want this band, you should come to Rochester. And I will remember this moment for the rest of my life, because we almost didn't go to Rochester. We almost didn't do it. And we gave them an out. And they said, no, you come. And we did. So I think for us, you know, it was about, all right, we're doing it. And of course, again, like episode 12, the camera's rolling. We're filming the whole thing. 2 days of the shoots. There's tons of footage, hours and hours and hours of footage. We filmed it with a DJI Osmo and multiple GoPros. We have camera angles for every shot. There's so much footage. And it's so easy, again, to get to a point where you're like, this is all important. But the purpose I had when I went to edit it was, let me get it down to as short as I can. How can I tell this story in the least amount of time to make it easier for people to have a, you know, easy barrier, no barrier to entry, basically. And I got it down to 3 minutes and I was stoked. And I showed you that yep. clip. And I was like, because the last video, it's 10 minutes shorter than the last video.
Yep.
And not what people come to expect right now from Spare Change. And I felt really good about it. And then I thought about it and I sat with it and I said, I can do better. I can cut this down further. And then finally last night was the moment where I went back over it again and got it down to 2 minutes and 16 seconds, which doesn't sound like a crazy difference, but 45 seconds of a 3 minute video is a huge percentage of that video.
Yeah.
And then to be able to.
And you've already trimmed so much fat too. That's the other aspect. Right. It's like you've already gone down so close to the bone.
So to be able to cut that amount out, but still retain, in my mind, the story and the message, and actually I think it plays better now, was just like I felt like I was that good and I could see great. And it was a moment where it was so easy to be like, good's enough. Like good is good. You know, like I got it to 3 minutes. I don't want to be crazy, but I was like, you know what? In the back of my mind, it was like, let's go for it. If I'm this close to being where it needs to be, let's play that out and let's see what happens. Then if I can get it down to 215, 216. So, you know, from an editing perspective, it's about going through it with like a razor tooth comb and saying like, is every single shot I'm showing the audience worthy of their time and attention? And is there anything in here that I'm showing them that they don't need to see? And that's where this new cut of the video comes from. And then doing little things like, you know, in the beginning of the video, originally I had said like, hey, we're in Rochester, we're with Giant Panda, we are busking for wall therapy. And then the video played out sort of like the same thing after it. And I put them on top of each other. And I, you know, it's really problem solving and puzzle solving and trying to find ways to make this thing make sense. But drilling down to it and not being satisfied is what got it down a great deal shorter than it's ever been before. And I don't think anything's lost.
So the last question I want to ask you here is, with that specific energy, as you were speaking, the spectrum that I was thinking about is, on one side, there's precious, which is all these amazing moments, all these memories that I want to keep. So you're very precious with every aspect of a video, versus where I was leaning towards was a word like ruthless,
mm-hmm.
where like there's a degree of ruthlessness that you have to take to this in order to pare it down. But then when you said like a fine tooth comb, there's also a precision or a detail oriented, like how would you describe that energy of going into the last edit where you were at good, looking at great? Like, what is the feeling of that?
That's great. Actually, you know what? When you say that, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
It's a lot like, and I'm pretty new to this world of of running. I never really did it before. I'm about 4 months in to running regularly. And the funny thing about running is that the entire time that I run, I'm wrestling with myself mentally. And every mile, I'm like, that's good. You know, like 2 miles is great. Okay, 3 miles is great. 4 miles is plenty, Josh. Like, you can go home now. And I have to like constantly fight with what's in my mind and be like, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to push it. I'm going to go further. And that's the exact same feeling it is when you're editing that video, where it's like 3 minutes is okay. Like, you did it. You got it way shorter than it's ever been before. And it's like, you know what? No, I can go further. And pushing yourself. And every time you make a cut and every time you remove things that are unnecessary, your mind is saying, this is good. This is fine. Like, it's protecting the thing in a sense. So it feels very much like overcoming this internal dialogue and holding yourself accountable to a very high degree, where it's like, you know, it might be okay for you that has experienced it and lived it and seen it and is reminiscing in a way when they watch the video. But for someone that hasn't seen it, how do we get it to a place where they are feeling like this 2 minutes and 15 seconds of their time is worthy of their attention? Because that, even though it seems like no time at all in a world where there's content everywhere, it means a lot. And that's why I want to continue this journey and why I think episode 13 is like episode 1 for us, because I think we're holding the audience's attention in a higher regard. And although we don't have the marketing budgets we used to by bringing in businesses, we are treating the people that are involved and are watching way more respectfully of their time. And we're getting to a place where we're saying, yeah, we're going to put a video out a couple times a month or maybe once a month. But when we do, you're going to leave it better than it found you.
I love it. I think that anyone listening who in any way, shape, or form identifies as a creative is going to really value from these insights that you've shared. Thank you for being so raw and honest about the creative process. That's a very hard thing to unpack inherently. So I really appreciate your candor with all of that. The episode is up. We want to give people digital coordinates where they can check it out. Where do you want to direct some eyes and earballs?
Best place, search YouTube for Spare Change TV. You can go to sparechange.tv or to our website, and it'll be up there as well. We're across all social media. Please, if you are interested in this or you know a great cause or a band, shoot us a message. We are easy to get a hold of, and we love hearing what your thoughts are. And we're, as you can hear from this dialogue, we're open to change and we're open to evolving. So if people are interested or are invested in what we're doing, we love hearing feedback, and we hopefully we can actually like put that feedback we get to use in a really positive way.
Now, are you doing the same type of fundraising that you've done in previous videos for, so people can give as well?
Yeah.
And
there'll be a link. It'll be spot.fund/walltherapy. SpotFund's a great partner for us. They allow micro donations. Most crowdfunding or crowd giving websites have a minimum donation of $10. Mm-hmm. And we partner with SpotFund because they help us make great campaigns, and the minimum donation is $1. So it's continuing that idea of spare change. We don't want one person to donate $1,000. We want 1,000 people to donate $1. And we hope that that's how we can grow our audience. And
that energy is definitely in the video too. Like, people will get that experience out of it as well. So fantastic. Please check that out. All of those links are at goingdeepwitharon.com/podcast. The show notes for this and every episode of the show can be found right there. But as we do at the end of each conversation, Josh, I want to give you the mic a final time to issue an actionable personal challenge for the audience.
Okay, audience. Hey, it's Josh, your old friend. I think that the challenge I would have for you, what I want you to understand is the power you have, even if you can only do a little bit. So whether that means helping someone out in a small way or donating as little as $1 to a cause that someone approaches you with, try to find one way today to help one person out in even a very, very small way. And I promise you that small amount of your time or small amount of your money is going to play out very well for you. And you're going to feel that although you thought it was something small, it impacted people in a really big way.
And like just about everything, great things start small and then really make an impact. So thank you, Josh, for your work. Thank you for coming on today and for sharing all your insights with us.
Thank you.
We just went deep with Josh Corcoran. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. In addition to subscribing to this show, you should also be marking your calendar for March 23rd, 2019. That is when the Going Deep Summit 2.0 will be taking place. It's going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is going to feature some fantastic speakers. We have new announcements to share there very, very soon. Mark your calendars, RSVP on Facebook, buy your ticket on Eventbrite because prices are going up soon, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Connect with Aaron on Twitter and Instagram at AaronWatson59.